Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition for Saturday, April 27th, 2024. Midland College, 2024 Dr. Stan Jacobs Award winners revealed. Midland College announced Terry Gilmore and Eric Gutierrez as its two recipients of the 2024 Dr. Stan Jacobs Teaching Excellence Awards on Wednesday. The Dr. Stan Jacobs Teaching Excellence Award is a peer-driven award presented each year to select faculty members who have made significant contributions to the intellectual life of the college through innovation in the classroom and their commitment to students, the college said. The selection process spans several months and includes input from the faculty of staff of the college, beginning with nominations. After the nomination window closes, according to the college, six people from different disciplines conduct an eligibility review. From the nominated staff members, three finalists are selected for both, quote, academic, end quote, and, quote, workforce, end quote, disciplines. Quote, these finalists epitomize the pinnacle of educational excellence, embodying the spirit of innovation, dedication, and passion that defines the TEA, end quote, the college said. Both winners receive a $5,000 cash honorarium and a plaque. Their names are permanently displayed in the Peave House Administration Building. Along with the names of winners from previous years, according to Midland College. The finalists for the academic discipline were Gilmore, Professor of Government and Political Science, Debbie McNeely, Associate Professor of Psychology, and Joey Shankman, Associate Professor of Biology. Finalists for the workforce designation included Brooke Fouch, Department Chair, Instructor Nursing, Vocational, Gutierrez, Department Chair, Associate Professor or Automation, Automotive Technology, Diesel Technology, Natural Gas Compression, Petroleum Energy Technology, and Anita Schellenberger, Professor of Office System Technology, Computer Information Technology. Midland College shared that Gutierrez has led 15 of his students to awards in the Skills USA competition at district and state levels this year. Gilmore also serves as the director of Midland College's Honors Program and as an advisor to the college's Phi Theta Kappa Honor Society. In a video about her nomination, Gilmore said as a political science professor, she hopes to inspire students to be good citizens and giving back to their community. Gutierrez said he wants students to remember him as someone who cared for them, challenged them, and helped them learn in a video produced by Midland College regarding his nomination. Missile manufacturer moving in. Global geopolitics has alerted the U.S. to the need to bulk up its arsenals. And Midland, with a workforce with skill sets honed in the oil patch, stands to play a large role in those efforts. At a special meeting of the Board of Directors of the Midland Development Corporation, directors unanimously approved a 24-month lease agreement with Castellon Corporation on 125 acres owned by MDC north of Highway 191 west of Midland. Castellon will be producing and ground testing its rocket engines and propulsion systems in advance of further expansion of its Midland operations. Sean Pitt, co-founder and chief operating officer of Castellon, told board members the company's future plans are to expand to over 300 acres, establish production of its missiles, and not only ground test, but flight test those missiles. The company already has contracts with the U.S. Navy and U.S. Air Force for low-cost strike weapon development, Pitt said. According to Pitt, Castellon was formed by former SpaceX leaders in late 2022 to build a company that could cut costs and schedules to develop and mass manufacture in excess of 1,000 units new strike weapons. Whereas developing and beginning the manufacture of strike weapons can take as much as 10 years, Pitt said Castellon utilizes a rapid iteration cycle for development. As an example, he said the company took 6 months for a hypersonic motor development campaign. The company is designed to manufacture at scale and utilizes vertical integration to control schedules. He assured board members' safety is a top concern, and the company has already shared the hazard report on the design of its original Nevada test site with MDC and the Midland Fire Marshal. MDC officials saw that Castellion was a new company in the defense field and approached the co-founders about coming to Midland. Pitt said the company was attracted to Midland because it had plentiful space for ground testing, as well as a workforce with the skill sets needed to manufacture the motors and missiles. Pitt said the company plans to immediately put several million dollars into the new site. Long term, he said Castellion expects to invest millions of dollars and create a substantial number of jobs. USGS, recent swarm of earthquakes, part of overall trend. West Texans have been rattled in recent days by a series of earthquakes along the border of Loving and Winkler counties. Since late Wednesday, April 24th, there have been 11 earthquakes of 2.5 magnitude or greater, including four of 3 magnitude or greater and one 3.9 magnitude and one 3.8 magnitude, all within about 2.5 miles of each other, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. Quote, earthquakes often cluster in a space and time, just like we see here, end quote. Justin Rubenstein with the USGS told the Reporter Telegram by email. He wrote that this grouping of earthquakes doesn't look like a traditional main shock aftershock sequence, where many smaller earthquakes follow a larger earthquake, occurring at a rate that decreases with time. Instead, he wrote, the behavior being seen here looks like a swarm. Rubenstein explained earthquakes occur in what are called swarms or sequences, where there generally isn't one earthquake that is much larger than the others, and there isn't a decreasing rate of earthquakes, just a period of higher earthquake activity. Quote, it's hard to say the cause of these specific earthquakes right now, but within the broader Permian Basin, there has been a dramatic increase in earthquakes going back to 2015, with the rate really increasing beginning in 2020. This includes four magnitude 5-plus earthquakes, one in 2020, two in 2022, and one in 2023. Most of the earthquakes in the Permian are caused by wastewater disposal from oil and gas production in the area, although some seismicity is caused by hydraulic fracturing, end quote, he wrote. According to Rubenstein, earthquakes induced by hydraulic fracturing often occur in very short bursts, a few days to a week during the period of the fracturing, and in small areas immediately surrounding the hydraulic fracturing. Stipulations are reported at frac focus, but these simulations are often not reported for months. Supply concerns continue to support oil prices. Supply concerns stemming from continued tensions in the Middle East provided support for oil prices this week. West Texas Intermediate rose 3 of 5 trading days on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Tuesday's $1.46 jump was due to the near-month contract changing from May to June, but June contracts found support Thursday with a 76-cent jump and a 28-cent rise to end the week at $83.85, up from $83.14 at last Friday's close. The posted price closed at $80.33, according to Plains All American. Quote, oil prices shook off stagflation fears and rallied late in the session after trading down after the GDP report because overall the fundamentals for oil are looking more bullish. Not only do we have to price in geopolitical tensions going into the weekend, we also have to be concerned about the looming supply shortage that we are seeing in the global marketplace that will see all-time record demand next month, end quote, wrote Phil Flynn, senior market analyst and author of the Energy Report. Flynn noted that geopolitical risk factors that include Israel stepping up its attacks in Gaza in preparation for a Rafah invasion, as well as concerns about Ukraine's attacks on Russia's oil infrastructure, are supporting prices. Two, he wrote, the World Bank is warning that a conflict in the Middle East could push the price of oil above $100 a barrel, and that could reverse the recent downtrend in global inflation. The World Bank is predicting crude prices will average $84 a barrel this year, quote, but be careful because any disruptions could cause prices to spike, end quote, Flynn wrote. Natural gas futures remain weak, falling 3 out of 5 trading days on the NYMEX, including a 16-cent plunge Wednesday that sent prices below $1.7 per MCF. Prices dropped an additional 2.4 cents Friday to close the week at $1.614 per MCF. East Daily Analytics notes that Permian Basin natural gas prices have routinely traded below zero most days since March 11th, as strong production growth collides with springtime pipe maintenance. The company said prices fell to a low of negative $3.54 per MMBTU on April 15th, nearly $5 below the Henry Hub price on the NYMEX. Permian follows U.S. rig count lower. Drilling activity fell to its lowest level in over 2 years, as weak natural gas prices and a continued commitment to fiscal discipline put a damper on activity levels. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said Friday the U.S. rig count, it is issued weekly since 1944, fell by 6 rigs to 613 rigs, the lowest level since February 2022. The tally is 142 rigs, or 18.8% below the 755 rigs active last year. For April, the rig count was down 8 rigs, showing a second consecutive monthly decline. The number of rigs drilling for crude oil fell by 5 rigs to 506 rigs, the largest weekly drop since November, and 85 rigs below the 591 rigs seeking crude a year ago. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas fell 1 rig to 105, the lowest level since December 2021, and down 56 rigs from 161 last April. For April, the number of rigs drilling for oil was unchanged, and the number of rigs drilling for natural gas fell 7 rigs. Texas managed to avoid the downward trend, rising 1 rig to 297 for the week, still 80 fewer rigs than the 377 drilling across the state a year ago. New Mexico was down 1 rig. Colorado 1, Louisiana 4, and Pennsylvania 1 joined New Mexico as producing states to see a decline, while Texas was the only producing state to see an increase. The Permian Basin followed national trends, dropping 1 rig to have 317 rigs active in the region, 44 fewer rigs than the 361 seen last year. Eddy County, New Mexico, remains the most active county in the Permian with 56 rigs, unchanged for the week. Lee County, New Mexico, remains in second with 48 rigs, down 1. Martin County was down 1 rig to 34, while Reeves County gained a rig for 26 at work within county lines. Loving County was unchanged at 23 rigs. Midland County was also unchanged at 22 rigs. Reagan County continued its winning streak, adding 2 rigs for 16. Upton County dropped 2 rigs and had 15 active rigs for the week. Culberson and Ward counties each reported 11 rigs, unchanged for the week. Howard County had 10 rigs, down 1 for the week. Energy Dedicated Software, as a service firm in Varis, said its U.S. rig count for the week ended April 19th, sank 14 rigs to 643 from 657 the previous week. That is 166 rigs, or 18% below, the 809 rigs active a year ago. ConocoPhillips continued to lead the top 10 operators by rig count with 29 rigs, down 1. EOG Resources is second with 29 rigs, up 1, and Occidental Petroleum is third with 26 rigs, down 1. In the Permian Basin, Enverus said its rig count for the week ended April 19th, fell 8 rigs to 315 from 323, and is 57 rigs, or 15% below the 372 rigs reported last April. The most active play, the Delaware, dropped 6 rigs to 174 and is 26 rigs, or 13% below the 200 seen last year. The second most active, the Midland Basin, added a rig for 123 rigs active in the basin. That's still down 27 rigs, or 18% from 150 a year ago. In looking at the trailing 30-day permits by region, the Permian had 681 permits as of the week ended April 5th, up from 667 a year earlier, but well below the 889 as of a year ago. The Permian had 138 frac crews, up from 130 a week earlier, but below the 151 active a year ago. Josh Abbott band to perform at 2024 Bull Bash. Showbiz West Texas announced that the 2024 Bull Bash will feature a live performance by the Josh Abbott Band at the Ector County Coliseum on August 3rd. The 2024 Bull Bash is a showcase of the best in professional bull riding, featuring local, regional, and international riders, according to a press release. Quote, "We're thrilled to partner with All American Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram of Midland to bring the 2024 Bull Bash to our community," end quote. Richard Esparza of Showbiz West Texas stated, quote, "This event represents the epitome of Texas culture, combining the excitement of bull riding with the electrifying performances of one of the most beloved Texas country bands, the Josh Abbott Band," end quote. The Josh Abbott Band originated at Texas Tech University in 2008, according to the press release. Their debut album, Scapegoat, came out in 2008, followed by the 2010 album, She's Like Texas. The band has 7 studio albums in total, the most recent being Somewhere Down the Road, which came out in January. Josh Abbott and Dairy Queen Restaurants in Texas announced the Josh Abbott meal this month, which includes a 4-piece steak finger country basket, a mini M&M's milk chocolate blizzard, an iced tea, and a collectible limited edition Josh Abbott cup. Tickets for the concert start at $40. VIP tables are available by calling 432-557-5598. VIP tables come with 8 tickets to the event, a catered meal, and a VIP cash bar. Tickets are available at ectorcountycoliseum.org and the Ector County Coliseum box office. Josh Abbott Band to perform at 2024 Bull Bash. Showbiz West Texas announced that the 2024 Bull Bash will feature a live performance by the Josh Abbott Band at the Ector County Coliseum on August 3rd. The 2024 Bull Bash is a showcase of the best in professional bull riding, featuring local, regional, and international riders, according to a press release. Quote, "We're thrilled to partner with All American Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram of Midland to bring the 2024 Bull Bash to our community," end quote. Richard Esparza of Showbiz West Texas stated, quote, "This event represents the epitome of Texas culture, combining the excitement of bull riding with the electrifying performances of one of the most beloved Texas country bands, the Josh Abbott Band," end quote. The Josh Abbott Band originated at Texas Tech University in 2008, according to the press release. Their debut album, Scapegoat, came out in 2008, followed by the 2010 album, She's Like Texas. The band has 7 studio albums in total, the most recent being Somewhere Down the Road, which came out in January. Josh Abbott and Dairy Queen Restaurants in Texas announced the Josh Abbott meal this month, which includes a 4-piece steak finger country basket, a mini M&M's milk chocolate blizzard, an iced tea, and a collectible limited edition Josh Abbott cup. Tickets for the concert start at $40. VIP tables are available by calling 432-557-5598. VIP tables come with 8 tickets to the event, a catered meal, and a VIP cash bar. Tickets are available at ectorcountycoliseum.org and the Ector County Coliseum box office. Two capital murder suspects apprehended in Midland, sent back to Central Texas. Two suspects wanted for a capital murder are in custody in Central Texas after Midland police officers helped in their apprehension. According to a city press release on April 18th, Midland police received word that two suspects involved in a homicide that occurred in Lee County, located approximately 40 miles east of Austin, were believed to be in Midland. The investigation determined that 18-year-old Jaden D'Angelo Medeiros and 19-year-old Tavion Malik Williams both had addresses in Midland. On Monday, Midland authorities identified and took Medeiros into custody. He was then transported back to Lee County. However, the search for Williams continued, and on Thursday at approximately 10 p.m., Midland police were notified via the U.S. Marshals Service that Williams had contacted them and advised he was at a Dollar General located at 2300 Fairgrounds Road and wanted to surrender to police. MPD officers responded and located Williams. He was taken into custody and then transported to Lee County on Friday. Oil report. Upstream deals off to record start. Merger acquisitions mark sizzling beginning to 2024. Permian Basin deals helped drive a record start to upstream merger and acquisition activity in the first quarter, dominated by Diamondback Energy's acquisition of Endeavor Resources for $26 billion. Enverus Intelligence Research, a subsidiary of energy-dedicated software as a service firm Enverus, released its summary of the first quarter of 2024 upstream activity and found the year is off to a record start with $51 billion in activity. This comes on the heels of a blockbuster 2023 that saw $192 billion in deals. Diamondback Endeavor dominated the quarter, followed by Chesapeake Energy and Southwestern Energy's Haynesville Marcellus $11.5 billion tie-up, and then Apache Corporation's acquisition of Callon Petroleum for $4.5 billion. Quote, most of that inventory is going to be found in the Permian, so it is unsurprising the prolific basin was yet again the primary driver for M&A within oil and gas, end quote, said Andrew Dittmar, principal analyst at EIR. But he told the reporter Telegram by telephone, quote, the big story now is it feels like we're at an inflection point in M&A. The Permian Basin has been the center of activity, both private and public. There's not much left to go by with all this consolidation, end quote. That's not to say the Permian won't see deals, he said, but he expects companies to look at opportunities outside the Permian. The Eagle Ford, Haynesville, the Scoop slash Stack, for example. Quote, M&A broadly flows from the Permian Basin, end quote, Dittmar said. The Permian Basin will continue to see deals, he said, citing a handful of private equity-backed companies already making deals. Dittmar cited Double Eagle 4 as an example, saying the company has already built an impressive acreage position in the Midland Basin. That was no easy feat, given the difficulty in finding acreage, he said. Quote, the next story in the Permian Basin, beyond M&A, is finding more resources to develop, end quote, Dittmar said. As core areas in the Spraberry, Wolfcamp, and Bone Spring are drilled, he said companies will be looking for opportunities further out from the core, like the Central Basin Platform, or further northwest, like Culberson County in the Delaware Basin. An important component of deal-making will be acreage swaps and bolt-on acquisitions as companies look to consolidate acreage to make room for increasingly long laterals, he said. One challenge to this wave of consolidation is increased regulatory scrutiny. The Federal Trade Commission asked for additional information about the Occidental Crown Rock deal, and ExxonMobil has received a second request for information about its acquisition of Pioneer Natural Resources, according to Dittmar. EIR does expect those deals to go through, he said. But that scrutiny could create roadblocks for large-scale consolidation while opening opportunities for smaller-scale consolidation. Once deals are made, he said, not to expect a wave of non-core divestitures. Quote, companies will want as much inventory as they can get, end quote, he explained. Quote, they don't need the cash. And Wall Street probably wants companies to have 8 to 10 years of high-quality inventory. Larger companies will have that inventory while smaller companies won't, so they'll trade at lower levels, end quote. EIR is already seeing a significant slowdown in activity in the second quarter as there are fewer attractive takeover targets remaining in play. There will be smaller deals, but, quote, the big wave of Permian Basin deals is done, end quote, Dittmar said. Juvenile arrested for shooting at apartment complex. Midland police officers were dispatched to the Compass Point Apartments after responding to a gunshot victim on Thursday at approximately 4:55 p.m. When officers arrived in the 1500 block of Wayside Drive, they located the female victim who had sustained a gunshot wound. The ensuing investigation revealed that, quote, the suspect, a juvenile, arrived at the apartment with intentions of robbing a juvenile male. During a physical altercation between the males, the gun was fired once, hitting the victim in the pelvic area, end quote. Midland police reported that the victim was transported to Midland Memorial Hospital and the suspect was arrested for aggravated robbery and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Josh Abbott Band to perform at 2024 Bull Bash. Showbiz West Texas announced that the 2024 Bull Bash will feature a live performance by the Josh Abbott Band at the Ector County Coliseum on August 3rd. The 2024 Bull Bash is a showcase of the best in professional bull riding, featuring local, regional, and international riders, according to a press release. Quote, we're thrilled to partner with All American Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram of Midland to bring the 2024 Bull Bash to our community, end quote. Richard Esparza of Showbiz West Texas stated. Quote, this event represents the epitome of Texas culture, combining the excitement of bull riding with the electrifying performances of one of the most beloved Texas country bands, the Josh Abbott Band, end quote. The Josh Abbott Band originated at Texas Tech University in 2008, according to the press release. Their debut album, Scapegoat, came out in 2008, followed by the 2010 album, She's Like Texas. The band has 7 studio albums in total, the most recent being Somewhere Down the Road, which came out in January. Josh Abbott and Dairy Queen Restaurants in Texas announced the Josh Abbott meal this month, which includes a 4-piece steak finger country basket, a mini M&M's milk chocolate blizzard, an iced tea, and a collectible limited edition Josh Abbott cup. Tickets for the concert start at $40. VIP tables are available by calling 432-557-5598. VIP tables come with 8 tickets to the event, a catered meal, and a VIP cash bar. Tickets are available at ectorcountycoliseum.org and the Ector County Coliseum box office. BCCK partners with Vision RNG on Ohio landfill projects. Living up to what is described as its entrepreneurial spirit, BCCK Engineering is finding ways to help its clients on their path to carbon neutrality. The Midland-based company, supplying equipment to clients working with landfill gas, recently expanded into Ohio with a partnership with Vision RNG. Vision RNG develops landfill gas infrastructure and will deploy BCCK NITEC single-tower nitrogen rejection units and amine systems to 2 landfill gas processing sites, one in Seneca County and one in Perry County in Ohio. Both are owned by Win Waste Innovations, a sustainable waste services and disposal provider that has contracted Vision RNG to develop gas conversion capabilities at both sites. Quote, we've been doing this for 5 or 6 years, end quote. Fraser McDowell, Director of Strategy and Business Development, Renewables at BCCK, told the Reporter Telegram in a telephone interview. Quote, we've taken traditional oil and gas technology and deployed it to renewable natural gas, end quote. As waste and landfills degrade, it emits natural chemicals, including methane, that are normally flared, he said. BCCK's equipment can capture that methane and remove the nitrogen, so the remaining gas is pipeline quality, resulting in a revenue stream for the customer. There are a lot of impurities besides nitrogen in those gases, including hydrogen sulfide and carbon dioxide, that the company has experience treating, McDowell said. Siloxane, which comes from the degradation of plastic bottles, is something the company is learning to treat, he added. As part of BCCK's efforts to play a role in providing cleaner natural gas and helping clients down the path to carbon neutrality, it has introduced a new unit that provides even cleaner results. The NITEC Ultra-Low Methane Unit is an enhanced nitrogen rejection unit offering efficiency and emissions control for natural gas processing plants. It is engineered to provide an ultra-clean vent stream with reduced methane content as low as 10 parts per million by volume. It is available for new facilities and can be retrofitted to existing units. Quote, when we look at the business environment, there are changes, end quote, said McDowell. quote, some come from legislation. The stricter methane rules will impact the gas patch. We're spending money and effort to accommodate those changes, end quote. The new ultra-low methane unit will address both the renewable natural gas space as well as the traditional gas space, he added. New safety courses highlight Safety Training Center's 30th year. West Texas Safety Training Center celebrated its 30th annual meeting this week with a reminder of why the center exists. Linda Ruth, Area Director with the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, offered a presentation on Worker Memorial Day, which falls on April 28 this year. Worker Memorial Day commemorates those workers lost in workplace accidents. The April 28th date was chosen because it is the date the legislation created OSHA took effect in 1971. The AFL-CIO declared the date Worker Memorial Day in 1989. The annual meeting then pivoted to a new safety program being widely adopted by the oil and gas industry called Safety Essentials. Vicki Watkins, Vice President of the Center, told the Reporter-Telegram the Safety Essentials program has been offered at the center for about a year and a half. The course can be done online with testing results available immediately in person or with a live online proctors 7 days a week. She said the program saves time and money and offers more background and education. Quote, major oil companies were looking for something more appropriate, end quote, to how the industry has changed, she said. The Safety Essentials is comprised of a three-hour initial course, followed by refresher courses that last 90 minutes. Materials are compliant with OSHA 1910 and 1926 regulations and were written and reviewed by the Society of Mining, Metallurgy, and Exploration. Firm sees need to connect Permian Gulf Coast. Moss Lake Partners is preparing to gauge interest in a new-built pipeline to carry natural gas from the Permian Basin to both Port Arthur, Texas, and Cameron Parish, Louisiana. The company announced this month it has started the pre-filing review process with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission for its De La Express pipeline. The proposed 42-inch, 690-mile pipeline would move up to 2 billion cubic feet per day of natural gas. In its proposed project schedule, Moss Lake requests FERC certify the pipeline by April 2026. Moss Lake is targeting an in-service date of July 2028 for the pipeline. Moss Lake has plans for an open house for interested shippers in May or June. Jackie Mitchell, a strategic advisor with Moss Lake, explained what prompted the company to propose the pipeline. Quote, we identified an opportunity to connect low-cost, high-growth natural gas volumes produced in the Permian Basin of West Texas with commercial and industrial consumer markets on the U.S. Gulf Coast, end quote, she told the Reporter-Telegram by email. Quote, we also identified the opportunity to connect low-cost, high-growth natural gas liquids volumes produced in the Permian Basin with international end-user markets, end quote. De La Express will provide long-term natural gas to commercial and industrial consumers from Port Arthur, Texas, to Lake Charles, Louisiana, including liquefied natural gas export facilities that are driving growing demand for U.S.-produced natural gas, she continued. The pipeline will also provide natural gas liquid supply to the company's proposed natural gas liquids export project along the Calcasieu Ship Channel in and around Lake Charles. Energy exports are driving stronger GDP figures for the U.S. However, the increasing need to debottleneck certain congested Gulf Coast ports indicates that this proposed Calcasieu Ship Channel facility would provide meaningful relief, as well as diversification to international market participants, Mitchell wrote. She noted that U.S. NGLs are key feedstocks for international petrochemical markets, whose finished products are used in everything from technology hardware, healthcare devices, building materials, and transportation sectors in Asia Pacific, Europe, and Latin America. Moss Lake Partners is a private investor in a midstream assets founded by J. Alexander Blackman and headquartered in Houston. With its infrastructure strategy, the company views output with a longer lens, according to Mitchell. Quote, given recoverable reserves, NGL supply growth is not expected to peak until at least the 2040 to 2045 timeframe. Most of the NGL export capacity we plan to build is anticipated to be fully contracted in advance of the final investment decision, FID. The single biggest pricing risk that will make NGL exports uneconomic is the high probability that U.S. export capacity becomes very limited and, as a result, existing terminal fees may become very expensive relative to global arbitrages. The only way to reduce the risk for tomorrow is to buy or start building export capacity today for that future demand, end quote, Mitchell wrote. Firm sees need to connect Permian Gulf Coast. Moss Lake Partners is preparing to gauge interest in a new-built pipeline to carry natural gas from the Permian Basin to both Port Arthur, Texas, and Cameron Parish, Louisiana. The company announced this month it has started the pre-filing review process with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission for its De La Express pipeline. The proposed 42-inch, 690-mile pipeline would move up to 2 billion cubic feet per day of natural gas. In its proposed project schedule, Moss Lake requests FERC certify the pipeline by April 2026. Moss Lake is targeting an in-service date of July 2028 for the pipeline. Moss Lake has plans for an open house for interested shippers in May or June. Jackie Mitchell, a strategic advisor with Moss Lake, explained what prompted the company to propose the pipeline. Quote, we identified an opportunity to connect low-cost, high-growth natural gas volumes produced in the Permian Basin of West Texas with commercial and industrial consumer markets on the U.S. Gulf Coast, end quote, she told the Reporter Telegram by email. Quote, we also identified the opportunity to connect low-cost, high-growth natural gas liquids volumes produced in the Permian Basin with international end-user markets, end quote. De La Express will provide long-term natural gas to commercial and industrial consumers from Port Arthur, Texas, to Lake Charles, Louisiana, including liquefied natural gas export facilities that are driving growing demand for U.S.-produced natural gas, she continued. The pipeline will also provide natural gas liquid supply to the company's proposed natural gas liquids export project along the Calcasieu Ship Channel in and around Lake Charles. Energy exports are driving stronger GDP figures for the U.S. However, the increasing need to debottleneck certain congested Gulf Coast ports indicates that this proposed Calcasieu Ship Channel facility would provide meaningful relief, as well as diversification to international market participants, Mitchell wrote. She noted that U.S. NGLs are key feedstocks for international petrochemical markets, whose finished products are used in everything from technology hardware, healthcare devices, building materials, and transportation sectors in Asia-Pacific, Europe, and Latin America. Moss Lake Partners is a private investor in a midstream assets founded by J. Alexander Blackman and headquartered in Houston. With its infrastructure strategy, the company views output with a longer lens, according to Mitchell. Quote, given recoverable reserves, NGL supply growth is not expected to peak until at least the 2040 to 2045 timeframe. Most of the NGL export capacity we plan to build is anticipated to be fully contracted in advance of the final investment decision, FID. The single biggest pricing risk that will make NGL exports uneconomic is the high probability that U.S. export capacity becomes very limited and, as a result, existing terminal fees may become very expensive relative to global arbitrages. The only way to reduce the risk for tomorrow is to buy or start building export capacity today for that future demand, end quote, Mitchell wrote. Life Tributes, William Lassiter Basham, 8-6-1924 to 4-24-2024. Dr. William L. Basham, geologist, geophysicist, professor, and man of faith, charity, and humor, passed away peacefully at home in Midland, Texas, with family at his side on April 24, 2024, at 99 years old. William L. Basham was born in Tyler, Texas, on August 6, 1924, where his father taught at Dragon's Business College. He is survived by his son, Nye, of New York City, granddaughter Sophia Malloy of Tulsa, Oklahoma, great-granddaughters Georgia Malloy and Alabama Malloy of Tulsa, and great-great-granddaughters Vess Frey and Jocelyn Montgomery of Tulsa. A memorial reception will be held 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Monday, April 29th, 2024, at the Branch at NPW. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Annie Mitchell, 12/16/1931 to 4/24/2024. Lano. Annie Jo Ann Hamilton Mitchell, age 92, of Lano, Texas, passed away peacefully in the arms of the Lord on April 24, 2024. Funeral services will be held Monday, April 29th at Harrell Funeral Home in Lano. Burial will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park in Midland, Texas. Annie Jo was born December 16, 1931, to Ulysses Charles Hamilton and Eula Mae Allen Hamilton in Baird, Texas. Anne was preceded in death by her husband Bill, her daughter Sandra, her son Briley, her parents, and her sister Betty Lou Farmer. Anne is survived by her daughter-in-law Lavina Mitchell, granddaughters Shyla Burrell and Roxanne Rathch, and their families, including four great-grandchildren and one great-great-grandchild. She is also survived by nieces Jan Wyndham and Susan Davis, nephew Brian Farmer, and siblings-in-law Pat Priest, Joanne Gant, and Gus Mitchell. There will be a visitation at Harrell Funeral Home in Lano, Texas on Monday, April 29th, 2024, from 10 o'clock to 10:30 a.m., with a funeral service to follow from 10:30 to 11 o'clock a.m. Instead of flowers, the family requests donations be made to Cherokee Children's Home, P.O. Box 295, Cherokee, Texas, 76832. Autumn Fochow, Fredericksburg. Autumn Fochow, 46, a radiant soul whose life was a testament to selflessness and love, departed from this world far too soon on April 17, 2024, leaving behind a legacy of compassion and joy. Autumn was born on October 13, 1977, in Fort Stockton, Texas, to Dennis and Lynn Yeager, and became the beloved older sister to Stuart Yeager. She is survived by her husband, Chad, her children, Ellie, Parker, and Ava Fochow, of Fredericksburg, Texas, her mother, Lynn Yeager, of Dallas, Texas, her niece and nephew, Hannah and Hudson Yeager, and her father-in-law, Jerry Fochow, along with several aunts, uncles, and cousins. She is preceded in death by her brother, Stuart Yeager, of Midland, Texas, her father, Dennis Yeager, of Fredericksburg, Texas, grandparents, Richard and Simone Stuart, and Henry Leon and Virginia Yeager, all of Colorado City, Texas, and mother-in-law Barbara Fochow of Fredericksburg, Texas. A celebration of Autumn's life will be held on Thursday, April 25th at 10 o'clock a.m. at Swallows Eve in Fredericksburg, Texas. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to ASAN, AutisticAdvocacy.org, in honor of her lifelong commitment to spreading happiness and light to those in need. Arrangements are by the Shader Funeral Home. Expressions of sympathy may be sent at www.schaetter.com. John Eli Kimberly, 4/15/1937 to 4/19/2024. Longtime Midlander John Eli Kimberly, 87, passed away on Friday, April 19, 2024. A celebration of life will be held on Saturday, May 11th. John was born on April 15, 1937, in Norwalk, Connecticut, to Oliver and Bessie Kimberly. John is survived by his wife, Marion, of 64 years, his children and their spouses, Karen and Peter Finkley of Austin, John and Marlene Kimberly of Fairfield, Connecticut, and David and Stephanie Kimberly of Lubbock. He is also survived by his grandchildren, Andrew Kimberly, Griffin Kimberly, Eli Kimberly, and Lauren Kimberly, his sister Joanne Campbell of Florida, and several nieces and nephews. He was preceded in death by his parents and his brother, Oliver Kim Kimberly. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to Hospice of Midland or a charity of one's choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. George Friday, Jr., 7/6/1931 to 4/7/2024. George Daniel Friday, Jr. died on April 7, 2024, at the age of 92, in San Juan Regional Hospital in Farmington, New Mexico. George was born on July 6, 1931, in La Mesa, Texas, to George Daniel Friday and Mary Ethel Evans. He was married to Melba Jean Lucas Friday and had four children, son Daniel Lauren Friday, his daughter Morgan McLean, son Randall Lynn Friday and wife Pamela Lynn Friday, and their children Jocelyn and Josh Hastings, Emily and Jacob Payne, and Jason and Hannah Friday, son Hubert Lance Friday and wife Ellen Jane Friday, and their children Philip Daniel Friday, Michael and Amanda Friday, Mark and Jordan Friday, and daughter Kayla Friday Hefner, and children Jeremy and Julia Hefner. He has 13 great-grandchildren. He is preceded in death by his wife, Melba Jean Lucas, son Daniel Lauren Friday, and grandson Philip Daniel Friday. The Friday family invites you to attend a memorial service at Crestview Baptist Church, 301 North Loop 250, Midland, Texas, 79703, at 10 o'clock a.m., followed by burial at 1 o'clock p.m. on Monday, April 29, 2024. Wear your service uniform, and instead of flowers, please make a donation in Mr. Friday's memory to the Buffalo Trail Boy Scout Council Camp Scholarship Fund. https://www.buffalotrailbsa.org/donate. The Friday family will have a private interment at Rest Haven Memorial Park at a later time. Danny Guzman. Danny Guzman, 57, of Midland, passed away on Wednesday, April 24, 2024. Viewing will be Sunday, April 28, 2024, from 2 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m., with a rosary at 7 o'clock p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral service is set for Monday, April 29, 2024, at 2 o'clock p.m. at San Miguel Archangel Catholic Church. Funeral service is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Community. MC students work towards medical degree. West Texas is home to highly successful petroleum, natural gas, cotton, and livestock industries. However, residents of rural West Texas communities face a wide range of mounting healthcare challenges. The same rural lifestyle that draws many to the region can make it difficult to receive an appropriate medical care. Two Midland College MC students, Lourdes Acosta and Abigail Hightower, have plans to help alleviate the shortage of healthcare practitioners in West Texas. Both of these young women will graduate from MC with an Associate of Science degree on May 10th, and they have already been accepted into medical school at Texas College of Osteopathic Medicine, TCOM, where they will attend after completing a year of concentrated science and math classes at the University of North Texas, UNT. Acosta and Hightower have spent the past 2 years at Midland College in the Primary Care Pathway Program, PCPP, a partnership among MC, UNT, TCOM, and Midland Health. Students in the program spend 3 years in undergraduate school, 2 years at MC and 1 year at UNT, and then 4 years in medical school at TCOM. During the program, they also observe and perform clinical rotations in conjunction with Midland Health. PCPP students have the opportunity to be accepted into medical school without taking the expensive and difficult medical school entrance exam, MCAT. Based on grades at MC and an extensive interview process, select students like Acosta and Hightower are accepted into TCOM before they graduate from Midland College. After they complete the required year at UNT, they immediately transfer to TCOM. Quote, "I have wanted to be a doctor since I was a little girl," end quote, Acosta said. Quote, "I had a lot of allergies when I was a child, and I was in and out of clinics. I grew up in Alpine, so we had to travel to Odessa or El Paso to see specialists. For most people in Alpine, having a doctor's appointment means that they are away from a job or school for at least a whole day. It can also be expensive because there is the cost of gas to travel, and many times it means spending the night in a hotel. When I graduate from medical school, my goal is to complete a residency in obstetrics/gynecology and then settle in Alpine so that I can help the residents of Alpine and the surrounding area in far west Texas, end quote. Acosta said that when she graduated from high school, she was accepted into several colleges and universities, including Texas A&M, Texas Tech, and Angelo State University. Quote, my primary care physician in Alpine, Dr. Billings, told me about the PCPP program at Midland College, and the smaller school atmosphere appealed to me, end quote, she said. Acosta is the daughter of Virginia and Enrique Acosta. At Alpine High School, she was a cheerleader and participated in the track and golf programs. She also worked part-time at McDonald's, first in the front of the restaurant and later in the office helping with the books. When she goes back to Alpine during school breaks, she still works at the restaurant. Abigail Hightower is the daughter of Jennifer and Christopher Hightower, a 2022 Midland High School graduate. She has actually been taking health-related courses since she was in the 10th grade. Hightower participated in the Midland College / Midland ISD Health Sciences College and Careers Academy for 3 years. And through that program, she received certifications as a nurse aide, patient care technician, EKG technician, and phlebotomist. Quote, I loved every single minute that I was in the healthcare classes, and I knew that I wanted to go further, end quote, she said. Quote, when I heard about the primary care pathway program at Midland College and learned that I could graduate with a medical degree in 7 years and possibly be accepted into medical school without taking the MCAT exam, it was really a no-brainer, end quote. After high school, Hightower worked with Sharing Hands, a respite experience, SHARE, a local nonprofit organization that provides support services and activities for families with special needs children. She still works with the program and also serves as an occasional private nanny. She volunteers at the MCRC We Are the World Day Camp whenever they have special events. She said that her plan is to specialize in pediatrics. Quote, my younger brother has special needs and I grew up around physicians and watching them take care of him, end quote, Hightower explained. As PCPP students, Acosta and Hightower have already been introduced to rural health care. In 2023 and again in 2024, they participated in TCOM's Rural Osteopathic Medical Education Program in the border communities of Presidio and Trilingua and surrounding towns of Marathon and Sanderson. Quote, that was an eye-opener for me, end quote, Hightower said. Quote, there is such a tremendous need for health care in these areas. The people were so grateful for our services, end quote. Acosta and Hightower did not know each other before they entered Midland College, but they soon became close friends and are now roommates living in O'Shaughnessy Hall, one of the MC residence halls. They also plan to live together next year in Denton while they are at UNT. Quote, I was so nervous when I first got to Midland, end quote, Acosta said. Quote, the very first class I had at MC was technical writing with Dr. Brown. Abigail was also in the class. I had previously met Abigail briefly at New Student Orientation. She was a familiar face, so I sat beside her. I think that's when we first became friends, end quote. Quote, Lourdes and I immediately discovered that we had the same interests, and now she's like a sister to me, end quote, Hightower said. Quote, I lived at home the first year I was attending Midland College, but at the beginning of this school year, I moved into the dorm and started rooming with Lourdes. Our friendship has only strengthened since we've been living together, end quote. Both young women graduated from high school with 4.0 GPAs and have continued that high standard of academic excellence at MC. Hightower has maintained a 4.0 GPA while at MC, and Acosta currently has a 3.95 GPA. They are active in Phi Theta Kappa Honor Society and the MC Chemistry Club. Their favorite class at MC was anatomy and physiology, and they credit biology professors Joseph Schlenken and Shauna Lopez with giving them a wonderful basic knowledge in biology and guiding them through their first steps in becoming physicians. In 2 weeks, Lourdes Acosta and Abigail Hightower will graduate from Midland College and begin the next phase of their journeys. It is no doubt that their dedication to their studies and their desire to eventually serve the residents of West Texas will be their guiding light as they continue their pursuit of a medical degree. One Accord for Kids celebrates Heart Gallery expansion. One Accord for Kids announced it will expand the Heart Gallery of West Texas. Heart Gallery of West Texas uses quality portraits and stories of children and youth waiting to be adopted. One Accord for Kids is a community development organization for the West Texas foster system and is committed to transforming lives in West Texas by strengthening families and connecting communities, a press release states. According to One Accord for Kids, Heart Gallery of West Texas was born out of the need identified by the local community to showcase West Texas foster children and youth waiting to be adopted in the region. With 60% of West Texas foster children and youth placed outside of West Texas, it was clear that children waiting to be adopted needed more visibility to find their home, One Accord stated. One Accord for Kids uses galleries placed in the community to draw interested families to an online gallery where they can read profiles, see more pictures, and inquire about children seeking adoption. One Accord for Kids also takes Heart Gallery kids on summer adventures, capturing video footage and interviews used in local news stories. According to the organization, the expansion was made possible through the First Lady of Texas, Cecilia Abbott, the Governor's Commission for Women, and local community partners. An expansion event for Heart Gallery of West Texas was held on Monday evening. Quote, the Heart Galleries of Texas is dedicated to enhancing communication with local foster care professionals, a crucial step in the ongoing commitment to improve adoption outcomes, end quote, Abbott stated. Quote, we look forward to the lasting positive impact on adoption outcomes for children and families across the state, end quote. One Accord for Kids celebrates Heart Gallery expansion. One Accord for Kids announced it will expand the Heart Gallery of West Texas. Heart Gallery of West Texas uses quality portraits and stories of children and youth waiting to be adopted. One Accord for Kids is a community development organization for the West Texas foster system and is committed to transforming lives in West Texas by strengthening families and connecting communities, a press release states. According to One Accord for Kids, Heart Gallery of West Texas was born out of the need identified by the local community to showcase West Texas foster children and youth waiting to be adopted in the region. With 60% of West Texas foster children and youth placed outside of West Texas, it was clear that children waiting to be adopted needed more visibility to find their home, One Accord stated. One Accord for Kids uses galleries placed in the community to draw interested families to an online gallery where they can read profiles, see more pictures, and inquire about children seeking adoption. One Accord for Kids also takes Heart Gallery kids on summer adventures, capturing video footage and interviews used in local news stories. According to the organization, the expansion was made possible through the First Lady of Texas, Cecilia Abbott, the Governor's Commission for Women, and local community partners. An expansion event for Heart Gallery of West Texas was held on Monday evening. Quote, the Heart Galleries of Texas is dedicated to enhancing communication with local foster care professionals, a crucial step in the ongoing commitment to improve adoption outcomes, end quote, Abbott stated. Quote, we look forward to the lasting positive impact on adoption outcomes for children and families across the state, end quote.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.